morning I want to invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. As we will read the first 14 verses together. Second Kings chapter 2 and starting in verse 1. Scripture reads, "Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. And the company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. And the company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Be silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And so the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me what I may do for you before I be taken from you.' Elisha said, 'Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit.' He responded, 'You have asked for a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not.' As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, 'Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, 'Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' When he struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over." This morning, I want to call you to reflect. I want you to think back to perhaps different times in your life that someone in your life made an impact. This might be someone when you were a child, or maybe you were in high school. Maybe you had a coach or a teacher. Maybe it was even when you were an adult and you were coming up on some big decisions and you needed someone to take you by the hand and help you through that process, perhaps deciding which college should I go to, or even a bigger decision of, is this the right person to be my spouse? Many of us would agree that most lessons that we didn't have to learn ourselves are the best ones to have. Lauren Norris, a motivational speaker, says that if you can't see where you are going, Ask someone who's been there before. Isn't that so true? Throughout my years of vocational ministry, I've been so grateful for the men and the women who have had the heart for me to invest into my life, share an encouraging word when I feel like giving up, invite me into their home, or even speak some sense into me when I need it. In a world where the title of Christian is now associated with things that we would rather not have them associated with, the idea of someone to raise up or have someone to look up to is really what this Christian thing is all about. One of the great things that I love about this community here, and one of the reasons why I went into full-time ministry and left a secular job, was because I found that just as I do, you have a tremendous love for families. Many of you have done an exceptional job and are still doing an exceptional job in raising your families. You are there for them. You listen. You support their dreams. You are being the parent, or you're being the grandparent that you have been called by God to be. And as a person who works with students, I thank you so much for that. You make my job much easier. Now, I know I have a reputation of being the guy who comes up with things that people need to do. I get many deep sighs and eye rolls sometimes when I start walking up to some people. And that's okay. But this morning, I want us to look at the relationship of Elijah and Elisha. And then ask ourselves, who am I leaving my mark on? Beyond my children, beyond my grandchildren, beyond my neighbor's kids, beyond the kids that I've seen grow up since kindergarten. If you were here a couple of weeks ago for Children's Sabbath and heard the great words that were spoken by Marlo, she spoke about some of the issues that our children in our community are facing that is interfering in their ability to learn or to grasp the information that is being taught. Your heart, if you heard those words, your heart would have certainly been bothered. But no matter how well a parent we are striving to be, or grandparents we are striving to be or are, we have all been. Unfortunately, there are many children who fall through the cracks. They are forgotten, and they are left to fend for themselves. And the number one solution that teachers and administration and volunteers say that can improve the lives of young people is not food. It's not money. It's not programs. It's the gift of self. To give yourself as a mentor in helping shape someone's life. Now, some may say, why does this matter? I didn't come to Sunday worship to hear about having to give of my valuable time. But I want you to look around. Look at these seats that are empty. Who will we be in the next 10 years? Who will be sitting in your seat in the next 20 years? Yes, we hope for Christ's return. That is our great hope. But we have the place now. We have been trusted with our community now. You and I are here now. And we cannot ignore the simple fact that mentorship, raising up individuals, is a part of the DNA of the Word of God. It is the heart of the Great Commission. Not throwing money and wishing for the best. Not simply praying for the greatest solution. It was Jesus himself who did this throughout his ministry with his own disciples, day in, day out, day and night. Christ shared his life with these men. He poured his own life into these men because he knew and even said that they would do greater things than even he did. Can you imagine that? After all the great things that Jesus did, he said, "You will do greater things." And so we look at the story of Elijah and Elisha. Many get lost in the amazing, miraculous event that Elijah is essentially raptured up. But this morning, that is not our focus. Our focus is the relationship. Our focus was to find out what it was that led Elisha to cry out to a person who was not his biological father, "Father, Father," when Elijah was taken away. He didn't want to leave him, did he? "Stay here, Elisha. As I live and as you live, I will not leave you." Elijah was a prophet who in 1 Kings is found to be a man who was simply depressed. He did some good things, but at the end of his life, before he was taken away, he went through a season where most of his thinking and words and actions were classic symptoms of depression. You can read about this in the chapter 19, the 1 Kings. And one of the ways that God helps Elijah through this is not sending him to a retreat or giving him time to figure things out, which is beneficial. And do not hear me wrong. There's value in that. After this season, after Thanksgiving dinner season, many of you probably plan to find some spiritual retreat. But rather than sending Elijah away to have time to himself, to deal with his depression, he sends Elijah someone to raise up, someone to mentor. I believe that this speaks to the truth that true value is not found in isolation, but rather in the community of believers. Do you have pain? Do you hurt? Is there sadness, depression, loneliness in your life? Then join the community. Pray that God will help you find someone to not only pour your life into, but for you to pour into. And so here comes Elisha. An ordinary young man working in the fields, taking care of his animals. You know, one of the most interesting things about this story is that Elisha, he wasn't asking God to send him someone to raise him up. Elisha wasn't looking for something to do. It was Elijah who was out looking for him. I wish I could count the times when I've heard someone say, "Well, they never asked for help. They never reached out for a mentor." And here we have this story where God led Elijah to a person who was not asking for someone. But because Elijah reached out into the life of Elisha, his life was forever changed. And so we take away some things important in this story. The first is that it required obedience on the part of Elijah. If you read 1 Kings about the early life, about his early life, as this was the end of Elijah's life, his life was not easy. There were reasons he was depressed. But Elijah did not make excuses about being too busy, being too tired, being inadequate to do what God had called him to do. But for Elijah, he needed this more than he knew himself. The second thing I want us to take away from this passage is that it required some sacrifice. This relationship between this mentor and mentee, it costs both men something. For Elisha, with the amount of animals that he was attending to, he probably was from a wealthy family, and he had to leave that behind to follow Elijah. But for Elijah, there was some sacrifice involved for him as well. The simple fact that he was going to have to put someone before himself. When it comes to raising up someone, does it cost money? Yes. Does it cost time? Yes. Does it cost energy? Yes. But the reality is, though, that rarely something happens extraordinary that doesn't also come at a high cost. And that is what happened with Elijah. Because of the sacrifice of Elijah, Elisha's ministry lasted longer and consisted of far more miracles than his master, than his mentor. And that is what we're talking about here. It is time that the extraordinary God that we believe in, that we have built our lives on, it is time that his disciples do something extraordinary. And I'm sorry, but true revival, if we want to see God's people return to Him, if we want this people to overflow, not with church folks, but with true disciples of Jesus Christ, if we want to see the lives change and transform, there's a cost. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting the same results. And I don't want to be the best youth director, but I want to raise up the best youth director. I don't want us to be the best church now. I want us to raise up a church that will transform our community so that people, families, the broken, the hurt, the abandoned will walk into this place now and for many years to come, and they won't leave the place the same. One of the reasons families have stopped worshiping is not because we don't serve the right donuts. It's not because we're not playing the right music or this person behind the pulpit is the right time. It's because the value is no longer seen. I tell the story of when I started going to church a lot. Many of you have probably heard it a lot. Because I want people to know the value I see in the community of faith. In Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who is my brothers?" And he looked out and he stretched out his hands over and he pointed to his disciples. And he said, "Look, here are my mother. Here are my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." Jesus says those words as if I have spoken them myself. And so I tell the story again and again, and I will tell it again of how when I chose to follow Christ, it was the community of faith I worshiped at that became family for me. For a man who has no real father, many of you men are that for me. Our mothers, our brothers, not only to me, but my own family. And that is the value that I see here. But there are many other values, many other things. It's why I spend countless hours reaching out into our community. When many people say, "Gabe, don't do so much," I say, "I have to, because I want people to experience the value of family that is found in this place." Now, that may be for a student. And it may be for a grown adult. The final thing I want us to take away is that, you know what? Elijah's life was undoubtedly interrupted. Mentoring Elisha wasn't a once-a-week meeting at Starbucks. It permanently changed their lives. It all started because both men were willing. Not trained, but willing. Not available, but willing. Not had a clear schedule, but willing. No extra money, but willing. Elijah was willing to pass along to Elisha what he knew, what he learned. Elijah understood that mentoring was life-changing. extraordinary ministry. The goal was spiritual transformation. Elijah had to be willing, likely swallowing his pride, in order for Elisha to be served well. So that when Elijah was swept up, he left his mark forever on the heart of Elisha, but also on our own hearts. He set the example as Christ has set the example for us. Just as Elijah left his disciple behind, Jesus left his disciples when he ascended into heaven. But he left his mark on those 12. I would say that someone has left their mark on your heart. But who is God placing on your heart to raise up? Don't just think children. Who is God placing on your heart to guide, to mentor, to impact? It's time that we move beyond those in our own home. It's time to quit waiting for someone else to make a difference. It's time to quit waiting on the perfect time. Will you be an Elijah? Will you allow yourself to be an Elijah?